existent.
I'm in a continual, permanent, protracted, unending mood. I'm persistent.
Welcome back to Cigars and Spirits Land. And Austin always gives me crap when I say it's special, but today I'm giddy. I'm damn giddy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the,
We referred to this in a couple episodes ago, what we were going to do, and we're here finally.
We're here. So we're getting back to our, hey, we're going to repeat a few episodes. So we repeated our Partagas with the Stag and the Bookers. Which is one of our favorite episodes of all time.
God, that's the man episode.
This is the refined going to the opera episode.
You know what? I like that.
Because this is a medium-bodied, very complex cigar that the last time we did this, so go back and check out episode 38. And we both, I'm going to throw it out now. So we both made it a point not to go back and listen to that episode to remember what we tasted.
So what is episode 38 about?
It's a Cuaba Distinguicio with Nikki Coffee Malt and Nikki Coffee Grain. So yes. Two Japanese whiskeys. And that was a flavor bomb. And for our loyal listeners out there, you know, we've talked about that episode on several occasions. Just how blown away we were.
Yeah.
Well, we're back.
So, yep. And George is right. We did not go back and pre-listen because I do not want to. I remember it, but I want to see if I can find the same thing. Unfortunately, it's cold out today.
It's cold.
So I'm afraid the whiskey is going to be a little tight, but we're working on keeping them warm.
And this cigar is not the same year as the last cigar.
Exactly.
This cigar is only about variations. 9 months old. So I don't know the date on the box because we bought 10 that came without the box. So
yeah.
We don't know the date stamp. So it is a same label cigar, different year, and the years do play a role.
Yep.
But same bottles that we did last time, so they were kept in Austin's butthole, so they wouldn't age.
Oh, my God. No, they were back in the cabinet, and I haven't touched them. They've been sealed. I haven't touched them since that last episode.
So same booze.
Now, I think what was so fascinating for us is George and I have never been big Japanese whiskey fans, and that's I think something we need to work on, to be honest. If you think about it, you were never a real big Scotch fan. Now you're phenomenal.
I love Scotch.
Excellent. And I kind of think
I still hate Scotch and I still love Scotch. There's Scotches I can't stand.
Well, yeah, but that's like bourbons. There's bourbons I don't even open that bottle on my behalf because I ain't touching it. No, that's with anything, obviously. Yeah. But in general, we've never been a big Japanese fan, and I honestly think we're kind of doing them a disservice.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, we need to do that. But both these, the grain and malt, are really lovely. They're light, they're lovely, very Scotch-esque, but they were just so much more with the cigar, which was amazing, because I know they were never blended, never put together for a cigar, because that's not their culture in Japan. And yet, from what I remember, what a phenomenal experience. It was like, it's almost no words.
Well, enough jibber-jabber. Let's get into it, right?
Okay.
So in our left hand, we had the Nikki Coffee Grain, which is a very light, polished gold color.
Yep.
You agree?
Yeah. It looks like Scotch. It looks like an Irish, or, well, McAllen's got a little more red hue because of the sherry. Like a Glenfarclas 12 or a Napogue Castle. Napogue Castle 15, 14, 14 Napogue Castle. And on the coffee malt, the grains?
Oh, so it's 95%? I'm about to say, what are you asking me, dude?
My brain just suddenly stopped.
He's giving that eye and that look. I'm like, what do you want? So the grain is 95% corn, 5% malted barley.
All right. Yeah, I had that spinning wheel of death going in my brain.
So I'm spinning around. Its legs are thin to medium, but they're medium slow legs.
They're actually very slow. Very slow.
And these are both 80 proof,
80 proof,
right?
Yes.
Yes.
45% by volume.
I'm smelling this one. I had to warm it up because it is cold out here.
You can
cold
smell
and rainy.
The corn. But it's not as sweet corn.
It's not
like
a bourbon.
Well, like a bourbon. Yeah, like a Knob Creek where it almost smells like cream corn. You can smell the corn. But
it almost smells like corn flakes. Right? Put your head,
a little more on the
corn flakes.
Cereal side, yeah.
It's not barley cereal. It's not Cheerios. But cornflakes smell a little sweeter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's different.
It's cornflakes with a little alcohol bite, obviously. And it's honey. Flowers, floral. I'm getting like honeysuckle in the back.
Absolutely. The nose is almost reminding me. I had that Glenfarclas, like I was texting you the other day when I had to go out to Vegas for a funeral, unfortunately. A good friend that I've known since first grade.
Yeah, you told us about rest in peace.
Succumbed. Rest in peace, Artie. Love you, brother. Anyways, Yeah, I was. They had Glenfarclas. I'm like, yes, sold. So I was sitting there drinking that, and it almost reminds me of that. You get that honeysuckle,
it does.
Almost a light vanilla flower, not vanilla bean, but, no, but floralish,
and a little bit of cinnamon on the nose, a little bit of spice, but yeah. It's all very light, but very, you know, as you think Japanese, kind of light and delicate.
It smells like it looks gold. Yeah. It's all golden smells, if that makes sense.
Now going to the coffee malt.
No, this is coffee malt. Yeah, that was coffee grain.
And
yeah,
this is 100% malt. Malted 100% barley.
Malted barley. This is as close to whiskey, I should say scotch, as they can do.
And its color is identical. I mean, there's no difference. Maybe half a shade lighter, if, but.
No, I don't even think that. Yeah, they're identical. Yeah, I can't distinguish a difference.
Its legs, I don't know, they won't fall. Let's see. I got to warm this glass up too. It's so damn cold out here.
Oh, super slow. Look at that.
Yeah, so same thickness, but slow as hell.
Yeah, they just hang. That rim just hangs and hangs, and then finally they start going.
Let me warm it up because my glass is cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been keeping it in my hands.
Welcome to Mardi Gras in Louisiana, right? Because this first weekend in Mardi Gras. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I was just at Parades last night in Metairie.
But it's
went to Family Gras. Zebra was playing.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
It was a good band.
Oh, yeah.
That's a local band. It was very big in the 80s and, you know.
80s, 90s. Well, shoot. I knew about them in Vegas. That first album, they had three big hits off
album. The first album. That's the problem. They peaked at the first album.
Just about.
It was all downhill from there.
But that was good. I mean, Randy Jackson, he's the lead singer. He's got to be in his 70s.
Yeah, still has a voice.
Yeah. He really modeled himself after Led Zeppelin.
He's Robert Plant guy.
But yeah, he's not able to quite get there.
No, he's not
there. But that's okay. It was still good. Look, Guy is still rocking it hard.
So let's diverge there. Let's diverge here. I listened to Zebra do Zeppelin back late 80s. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, that is Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the Robert Plant and, you know, just the peaks and the lows and the raspiness. I'm like, man, that was freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, so smelling this one. What are you smelling?
Malty. Truly is malty. All that barley.
Yeah.
See? More the, like you said, cereal. Cheerios. Yeah, that's
not
cereal.
Not cornflakes. Cheerios.
Yeah, exactly.
But also just, this is like a dark honey sweetness. The other one's that light honey.
Yeah.
This is that dark honey.
Yeah, versus the golden honey. This is that really, that's a good way to put it, because it's there too.
It has a little bit of cinnamon.
Yeah.
But it's
not
as floral as the other one. The other one's more floral than this one.
Yeah, the cinnamon, there's a slight cinnamon undertone, and still vanilla, light vanilla, but more towards the vanilla bean instead of vanilla floral.
No, I agree, yeah. Can't wait. Well,
very nice.
You want to do the cereal one first, the grain one first?
What about the cigar? Should we talk about the cigar for a second?
Yeah.
Look at the cigar.
We've done this before.
This is we've done these before. Double Figurado, as Coaba is known for.
Yes.
So, this one is what, 6.5?
Oh, crap. I got it written down. Give me a second. I forgot already.
I think it's, 52 by 6.5?
See, when you get old, you forget things that quick,
something,
man.
Something like that. Double Figurado.
So, its size is 6 by 52 or 162 millimeters for our friends across the pond.
I was so close.
Actually, it's 6 3/8 if you want to be exact.
Yeah, I said 6.5. I was close, though.
3/8, man.
By 52.
See? 3/8. You off. And before I forget, so price range, they've like everything else in the life, they've gone up.
Yeah.
I just researched it this morning. I looked at three different websites. They're going from about $27 to $31 a stick. Yep.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful cigar. Remember, as a Double Figurado, you cut the foot. The head of it has a very small area that's open, like a standard cigar. All you want to do is light that little small spot and then let it build up. And what that does is it starts it off a very cool burn. And they engineer that with the way they lay the leaves in there, the filler, where the section of the leaf is. They do that intentionally to start out as a nice cool burn, start building flavor, and then it warms up. And then the further you get towards the head, the diameter gets smaller, which once again, not only focuses the smoke down even more, but also warms it up more. And they engineer that. So they want the tobacco leaves to get hotter and hotter as you're getting down, if that makes sense.
And that's why this is a flavor explosion. I mean,
yeah,
we've had Mr. Mike on it, had Mr. Mike and Uncle Dave over, and we did this exact cigar, and they were like, my God, this cigar changes flavors 3-4 times. Like, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So on the outside, it is a solid Colorado. Mm-hmm. Color, and it is a little rustic.
Yeah, it's a little bumpy.
Yeah, it's a little
and
rustic.
I got one little water spot right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's that. a little, that's a scar. Yeah. It's literally a scar.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it's a water spot when you age in the wrapper. The water didn't wipe the water off.
Yeah, those dark ones, or not the dark ones, that light. Yeah, yeah. Usually it like a beetle or something could have gotten in, and then it fills itself in. Yeah. That's a little scar, but that's okay.
But smelling the wrapper, it's just light leather, huh?
Yeah.
And again, it's cold as balls out here today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just very leathery. And that's the way they've always kind of
been. And you can't smell the foot because there essentially is no foot now.
Yeah, there is no
foot. Pretty light draw.
It's going to be tight because, once again, we don't have an open foot. It's a very closed foot. And do not cut it.
Some people do, but I say don't.
Don't. No. It's engineered this way.
Floral.
Some brown spices.
Mm-hmm. Light leather, as you expect.
Yeah, a little leather.
And light coffee. Light black coffee.
Yes. Yeah, if you pull really hard.
But, yeah, enough of that bullshit. Let's drink, huh? We're going to do the grain first. The only thing I remember from the last episode that the grain on its own surprised me how good it was with the cigar, but I did like the malt better on its own. But let's see this time.
Yep, let's see.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. That's still damn good. You know what? It almost, I can't say. I had an Armagnac a couple of days ago, and I was like, no, it's not Armagnac. For that first sip, I'm like, it's almost Armagnac-ish, but then 2 seconds later, I'm like, no, it's not.
I got to be amazed, as cold as it is, how much flavor is still coming out. It is, this grain is a big flavor explosion.
It really is. But on
I'm getting that treacle sweetness. Mm-hmm. I'm getting some of that honey, getting very lot of floral.
I was just going to say, man, it's a floral bomb. A
lot of floral type flavors.
It's honeysuckle, violet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is floral bomb.
Oh, man.
With light, it's funny, this is light yellow honey. On the nose, it was a dark honey. On the mouth, it's light yellow honey. But floral bomb, you have to get past the violet and the honeysuckle. And
I do have a little oiliness on... If you're chewing on it and as you swallow, you retrohale as you swallow, you get a little bit of an oiliness.
Mm, I'll give you that.
Just a tiny bit. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like I said, as cold as it is.
It still has a little light hug, but it lasts. I mean, the hug's still there about 30 seconds.
It's got a long finish.
Yeah. Long finish and a nice little light hug. But
to me, the finish is basically honey and flowers and just light and soft. And
it's almost, you think, Irish, but... Doesn't taste like an Irish.
The finish
makes you go Irish, but has nothing like an Irish flavor.
No, it's got the lightness of an Irish,
right.
The delicate and the floral of an Irish, absolutely. But it does, yeah. But it doesn't even, I mean, it tastes like Scotch-ish. It tastes Irish-ish.
Well, as we've always said, my big knock on Japanese, and I've tried at least 8 God. Different expressions
we've had
Japanese.
Hibike, we've had, yeah, you and I've tried a bunch of
And every
different.
Time I have it, I'm like, well, it wants to be a Scotch, but it's not. It wants to be a bourbon,
but
it's not. It wants to be an Irish,
but it's not.
Yeah. What the hell is it?
They usually taste engineered.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the reason why I did like this Nika coffee grain and malt. Both of them, they, to me, don't taste engineered like a lot of the other ones we've had. But once again, we need to go back and...
Yeah, I'd rather have sake because it is what it is.
Oh, I love sake. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not pretending to be anything. It's rice, and you know what it is, and it's not pretending. All right, let's try the malt.
See, now that.
That's good. That's more Scotch.
Yes, that's more Scotch, more Irish. I'd actually almost, if you gave that to me without knowing what it was, I would be struggling between Irish and Scotch.
I'd say a Highland Scotch or an aged Irish.
Irish, exactly.
But, and it's funny, it's power suggestion, it's got slight stone fruit sweetness to it. It's not sherry.
Mm-mm.
It's more cherry. You know what I mean? I mean, it's this has the dark honey on it, on the palate. Also a little floral. But it's, I've taste a little cherry.
Do you? See, I'm not getting that. I'm looking for it. Not saying you're wrong.
No, it's funny. I'll say it was a power suggestion because we were saying scotch, but it's not sherry. Do another sip.
See, to me, it is a sweetness.
Yeah. It's like a whisper of the Luxardo cherry. It's kind of bitter, sweet, but it's a whisper of it.
Besides that, on the back of the tongue?
Yeah.
Kind of towards the end, almost at the finish?
Yeah. Because I'm like, is this sherry?
I know what you're picking up.
But it's not sherry, right?
To me, it reminds me more almost like a really oily chocolate, like a dark chocolate. But it doesn't taste like chocolate. It's more that sensation.
Bittersweet.
Sensation versus a taste to me.
I'll buy that. It's
more of a sensation than an actual flavor. So, it's...
But besides that, it's...
God dang, I forgot. It's been since that last episode since I've had both these, and they're both...
Yeah.
Really good. Now, they're not cheap anymore. They're now running in the $80 range. They're now in the $80 for these two expressions.
Yeah, well, you bought them. They're, what, $69.99, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I paid in the 60s. They're now like $80.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm like, you know, I hate to pay that kind of money for a Japanese.
You're going to pay that for every one of them. That's the thing. Every Japanese is running like that. So while he's lighting up, let's give a big shout out to the Original Bourbon Club, our sponsor. Thank you, guys. We appreciate the sponsorship. Appreciate the support. Check them out at theoriginalbourbonclub.com. Once again, we do, up 10, 12 now, pushing up to 12 barrel picks a year. Can be a part of that if you'd like. You can set up a club through us. We do a lot of charity work, and it's a really good group of people around the southeast. With this, so check us out, the Original Bourbon Club.
They're up in Ohio as well. They're all over the place nowadays. So as you're looking them up on the internet, please check us out on Cigars and Spirits Podcast. Email us at cigarsandspiritspodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, things you want us to try? We've got a couple of suggestions already. People have mailed to us that will be coming up on episodes near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
But I'm going to put the plug in now before I forget, because once we start drinking, I'm going to forget. Next episode is going to be interesting, because Austin just took a trip and met someone and said, please, can you do some more back to 101 education?
Oh, no, good old buddy. We've been friends since high school and turned him on to the podcast. So, yeah, we'll talk about that next. But, yeah, next couple episodes, we're going to go back to basics.
Yeah. So we're going to do tobaccos, and then we're going to do spirits.
Spirits and tobaccos and just the basics. Yeah.
So look forward to that. But please, again, check us out. If you have any questions, concerns, let us know. And if you guys want us to host a tasting, please let us know. We'll be happy to, depending schedules.
So here's a great example of a Figurado with that little small tip. And you can see that with the Fuente Hemingways, which is a great thing they do as well. Similar situation. But so many cigars, you know, we light them up. And we do use torches. I can't use a soft flame. We're outdoors. We get breezes. Soft flame doesn't work. So we use a torch. Gets tobacco really, really hot. And that's why we usually get it a good eighth inch, quarter inch before we even start weighing in. Because you get it hot, it can make it bitter, and then you got to let it sit, cool down and settle down. That's the beauty of this Figurado. I lit the sucker up. I mean, the tip is not even a quarter inch.
Yeah,
it is tiny. That's all I lit was that one spot. It started burning immediately and rolling through, and the flavors are immediate.
Yeah.
I mean, you can start judging immediately because it stayed cool.
Yeah,
Once again, engineered like that.
These always judge I always call it the bulbous part because it does start off with that little tiny tip. I always call it the nipple, right?
Yeah,
it goes from
the
nipple, and then it slowly gets bigger, and then it gets to the bulbous part, and then tapers back down. So I always taste it right before the bulbous part, at the bulbous part, and be after it because the flavors change.
That's George's favorite. He loves tasting the bulbous part.
Yeah, you know, I need the money. Work's been slow. It really hasn't. Been stupid busy, but.
Hey. Anyways, all right, moving on.
Yeah, we've had the cigar, 15, 20 times at least.
Yeah, I discovered these years and years ago, and, you know, when I was in Europe, I mean, a long time ago, and then I never could find them.
Yeah, they were hard to find.
And then suddenly they started kind of popping up a little bit and got rediscovered, and it's as a whole, one of my favorites.
It really is. So let's get into it while he's lighting up. So these are the Distinguithos, which means distinguished. Cuaba, which was, it's a Cuban, all Cuban. And it was released in November 19, 1996, so a pretty new brand. It was released in London. And basically, Habano said, look, we want to bring back the Figurado shape, because that used to be a very, very popular shape, but kind of died out in the 1950s and 60s, and like, we want to bring it back. And basically, that's what this is. Again, size is 6 3/8 by 52, 162 millimeters from our friends across the pond. We've talked about Quabba ad nauseum. I'm not going to get into it again. Basically, the name, it means a bush that the native people of Cuba, the Taino Indians, they used to take the bush, which was a Quabba, and they would take that, light it to light their cohiba, which was the tobacco they smoked. And that's where the name came from. That's the 2-second version on this.
Yeah, and the shape died out mostly because of the cost. They used their top rollers literally for the Figurados. They're the hardest to roll. The presses don't last as long, so they use these wood presses that actually help shape it. They shape it by hand, then they put it into the press, stick it under a hydraulic type press. Yeah. Back then they were using screw presses, and it helps really create that shape. And those shapes and those presses are all made out of wood. Break a lot more often because they're not linear in the sides like a straight sided cigar. So the pressures are different on different spots and they end up breaking out. So that costs more. The rollers cost more. And back in, 50s was post-World War II.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of in a shambles. There was no money out there. And that's one of the reasons why it died out. And then once again, as he'd already alluded to, wanted to bring it back from a history and, their background and stuff. And I'm glad they did.
Actually, you brought up a good point because, they use their level 7 tostadores, which is the rollers. And when he launched it in London, he brought back his best rollers there to roll these cigars. And the cool thing is they did not have presses at the time because they brought them out and the wood presses weren't made. So they were slightly different. They were imperfect between stick to stick. Nowadays, those different size Quabbas are worth gazillions of dollars because the collectors got those because they came out the presses a few months later, and of course now they're all pretty even. But it's a level 7 tostadores to do this.
So right off the bat, literally right off the bat, full flavored, not full bodied, but full flavored, getting coffee, getting a little bit of how do I put that, almost like that creosote, oiliness,
a little bit
of oiliness, a lot of coffee, a lot of leather,
and it's wet tannic leather, because always these cigars, when you first light them, you're like, ugh, I don't know if I'm
going
to enjoy this.
I'm going, oh yeah.
Every time I get one of these, I first light them up, I'm like, it's light, it's okay, but it's a little wet tannic leather. You're like, if it gets more tannicky, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. But then it does tend to mellow out. But it is full flavored. Yep. Boom. Right up front.
I love it right off the bat. And you're right, it is tannicky. There is some wood tannins. Absolutely cedar. Mostly a cedar.
Wood tannin and leather tannin.
Oh, wood, leather tannins. Yeah. Absolutely. Coffee. A little bit of oiliness. Mm-hmm. A little bit of oil to it. Now it's beautiful. So, which one do you want to do for it? Grain?
Let's do the grain. What the hell, right?
Okay.
Take a puffy and see what we get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, it just makes the cigar smoke sweeter. It quells that tannin.
Whoa.
Just makes it sweet.
Here we go.
We're off and running, right?
The train has left the station.
Because it changes the cigar, but for the better.
To me, it's bringing out that sweetness, that corn sweetness. It's like now I'm eating cornflakes. Yeah. I'm looking for Tony the Tiger right this moment with this coffee grain. It really, really brings that sweetness out. Oh, God, it almost makes it almost dessert-ish.
It's corn flakes with like orange, sweet orange peel on top, right? If you take orange peel and candy it, so it's got that tartness, sweetness to it. So it still has that tartness of the spirit. But it's like candied orange peels on top of cornflakes.
I'm not getting orange. I am getting a citrus, but to me, it's not real orange, but it's almost a citrusy.
Yeah. But a sugary citrusy.
Yeah. Oh,
candied lemon peel, orange peel, pick one, right?
Yeah. 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 There is almost like that Irish, you get a little of that Irish citrus in an Irish whiskey. It's like that, but sweet. That really brings that sweetness out. Wow. Wow. Like I said,
Here we go. I'm do some water and we'll do the malt because, again, last time I remember saying there's 16 different flavors. I don't freaking know anymore.
Dude, it's a whole encyclopedia of flavors, if I remember right.
All right. Get a little water. Let's see what malt has to do.
And you're right. Going back, it smooths out the tannins in the cigar. Mm-hmm. Really just rounds them. They're a little less sharp and rounds them. But I like it on its own. I really, you know that. I've already been, always been a big fan of this
wow.
expression of Cuaba.
All right. What are you getting on the malt? I chimed in on the grain. Let's see what you get.
I get goodness.
It's almost like everything pre-cigar, but magnified. Mm.
But not as sweet.
Well, you know, not versus the grain, but no. the malt one wasn't sweet as sweet either
yeah.
without the cigar. To me, I'm picking up everything I did with it, but everything's just bigger.
The floral bump blew up,
it's
didn't it?
Really.
It's a bouquet of flowers. Let me do a little sip and see. See, that's what happens to get old. I was waiting for him to describe what he tasted. I'm like, okay, let me tell you what I, and I already forgot.
So, honey's there. Floral's there.
And I'm still getting a, this is like a lemon sugary sweetness. It's like a candy lemon peel.
Yeah, malty. That maltiness is coming forward. It's just, it's very, it hasn't changed it from additional flavors. It's just made more of those yes. flavors. At this point in the cigar, it's just made more. It just is really, just really magnified them. So, all right, guys, we'll be back for the second third. And we're back for the second third of this Cuaba Distinguishado.
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 We always say Distinguishado. I say the same thing, but Distinguishados.
Well, I'm just a dumbass American.
Look,
can I say?
I've always said Distinguishados, and it's not Distinguishados. But yeah. Anyway.
Yep, absolutely. No, I know I'm wrong on that. So, wow.
Yeah, all I can say is wow.
You know what? Before I get into the cigar, let's talk about Nika. Just a little bit.
Do we?
So
can we talk about that third? I want to get a cigar.
No, I want you to pay.
Okay.
No. I'm not quite ready to. I've uncovered something, in, at least in this stick, that I've never uncovered in a Cuban before, ever. And but I'm going to wait. I'm just,
char?
No. How many times have we had char? Trinidad char?
No, it's not Trinidad char. It's not even
no,
in that realm.
No. So anyways, Nika. So was started by Masataka Takesuru.
Goes on tight.
I think I said that right. Takatesuru. So he lived from 1894 to 1979. And he actually went back in the early
1894 to 1979. Man.
Yeah.
Good run.
Yeah, good run. So he was a chemist and a businessman, and he is known as the founder of Japan's whiskey industry. And he started, it was the very first one, Nika. He started Nika Whiskey Distilling. And in the early 1900s, he had gone to Scotland. He had an affinity for scotch
yeah.
and decided, as a chemist, I want to learn. I want to learn scotch. And he went over there, and he learned scotch, and he brought that back. And what he also brought back was a type of still. And I'm going to wait for the final third to get into that.
The coffee still, yes.
Yep, the coffee still, hence the name coffee, C-O-F-F-E-Y.
Right.
And we're going to get that into the final third. I'll hold off on that, but that's a little background. I know we talked about ad nauseum in episode 38, but just kind of wanted to throw that out about kind of just the beginning of Nika. I think the most fascinating thing is he's the one who started the whiskey industry in Japan.
And
he's the founding father.
And we all know Japanese whiskeys now has exploded. And they were the first ones to start running up the damn price. Ooh, listen to that freaking flame on the mic. But if you go back 20 years ago, the scotch prices started skyrocketing because of Japanese.
Yes.
Oh, now it's the damn Chinese and Middle East.
But even worse, they've had to, you look at what they have to do, just like the Cuban cigars, all the different things to keep people from faking stuff.
Yeah.
All the hologram labels and this, that, and the other because of damn Chinese.
They're good at copying
stuff.
I
can't come up with an original idea. I'm just going to steal everybody else's and screw the world over. And that's all they do. So
what are you getting on the cigar? We're in the middle. We're middle.
Well, yeah, middle.
Yeah.
That's the middle.
It's second, third.
The middle is.
We're middle.
The middle's the middle.
What are you getting? It's a great cigar.
It tastes like a cigar.
Yeah,
No. Okay, I'm going to throw something out here. Try not to laugh.
I'm laughing.
I have never in any Cuban cigar, including this line, including this side in the past, this size in the past, I've never gotten a minerality really out of a Cuban cigar.
Yeah, it's a little mineral.
That's what I am picking up here. This is honestly reminding me a little bit, just a shade. I'm getting some minerality, not saltiness, but other minerality.
It's rocky, a little rocky.
And that minerality is reminding me of the Tabernacle from Foundation, the Habano version, that Lancero that I'm an absolute massive fan of. I'm getting some of that same minerality, charry notes that I get out of that. Even the Olmec, which is also a Foundation line, as we know. I'm getting some of that, which I've never had a minerality. I've always, this to me is this stick right here, the one I'm smoking. Can't say for the others, but this stick I'm smoking is reminding me almost as a hybrid between a really good Nicaraguan, like a Foundation, and a really good Cuban. I'm getting all those wonderful Cuban notes, still little, some floral and a little bit here or there, but overall, I'm getting this more minerality, a little bit of char, but it's that Nicaraguan base to me, which I've never had in a Cuban cigar. This is a first, and I'm freaking digging it.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm not getting that much mineral. So, but to break it down on my palate,
any minerality at all is more than we normally get.
That's true.
Do you ever get that in a Trinidad?
No.
A Oyo. A Cohiba. There's never any really minerals there.
The problem is the Oyo Epicure number 2, they change so much from year to year.
But there's no minerality.
Yeah.
I've never had it.
I've had a little rocks here and there, but it's just really nothing to mention. You know what I mean?
That's not really there. This one, it's
worth mentioning. Because you kept saying, what do you taste? I'm like, dude, it's because... So, to break this down, we know what we taste on the first third. Once you get past the big bulbous part, that wet leather became a dry leather. And then toasted nuts popped up.
When George goes down further past the bulbous area.
Yeah, we get down to the shaft. But it did. It mellowed out. You expect it in the bulbous part. It's got the big, thickest part of most fillers. Is going to be more bold. This became... It went from wet leather to... dry leather. The tannins died down some, but then it became...
They're there, but they're soft.
They're soft.
They've softened.
Before, they were a little edgy, bitey leather.
A little sharp.
Bitey tannin, not leather.
A little sharpy.
But now they're just a nice rounded tannin, dry leather, coffee popped up, nice black coffee. You get a little bit of minerality, a little bit of rocks.
You might be getting a little. I'm getting a lot.
I'm not getting that much.
I am getting an immense
but
amount.
But you weren't getting as much toasted nuts as I was getting. Mine's toasted nuts.
Yeah, and mine, that's an afterthought. The toasted nuts is an afterthought.
Once you got to the getting close to the middle, it's like, man, toasted nuts have popped up and said, I'm here. Enjoy. And it's, again, it's back to a symphony. It's a medium-bodied cigar.
But it's all the full-flavored.
Oh. All rounded perfectly. It doesn't bowl you over, but the finish on it, you take a puff, you're like,
finish is going
I'm
on.
I'm still tasting.
Forever.
Still tasting. But it's not like, I'm tasting black pepper. No, it's just, it's a gumbo of flavors, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, your nuts are hanging out more than mine.
Yeah, you know,
my nuts are
I'm
a little
older
tucked
than you.
Away.
I'm older than you. They drag a little lower.
My nuts are kind of an afterthought right now.
It's cold.
It is cold outside, man.
And when you said, I was like, but, I do, because you kept saying, what are you tasting is different. Like, it's more charry than the previous Cuavas that we had before.
It is. Yes.
But when I say that, I'm not telling you it's a charry cigar. It's just there and let you know it's
just more
char.
Char than we've had in the past.
Without a doubt.
But that's, and then I think where our palates or the cigar, could just be the cigar itself, is differentiating. I've got a lot of mineral in this. It's, like I said, it brings me to, once again, Foundation Tabernacle, Habanos version. It's taking me back to the Olmec Maduro. The Olmec Maduro, not the Claro, but the Maduro. And I'm digging this.
I wish
we could replicate this over and over because now look, it's not one I would do every day all the time. But
name a cigar you would do every day.
Oh, I could smoke it every day.
No, but name one cigar. You're like, I want this cigar every day of my life.
Most of the time, Oyo Epicure 2.
I could do an Epicure 2. Get kind of bored.
Well, varieties, spice of life.
Cohiba Robusto, I would love. If I had the means and I can buy them, I would smoke that every day. Yeah. But after a while, like I want some variety, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Olmecs. I love Olmecs.
Just like wine. I'm not going to drink just one Bordeaux, one Burgundy, and that's it. No. Same thing with bourbon or anything else. Sure. No, that's what's fun about this. But this one is just this stick right here in front of me today with the environment, with what we're doing. I'm just blown away. Oh, I've never had any minerality to speak of in a Cuban. And I'm getting it on this one, which it's flooring me.
Well, I just did the pairing. I warmed it up for all of 30 seconds. Did the grain.
Mm-hmm.
Still sweet. Mm. But man, the floral now is coming coming forward. Remember, it used to be that sugary, just sweet corn, you know, and I kept saying it was more like a orange candied peel with the sweetness. Now it's floral, sweet.
To simplify it, it's almost like I'm eating cornflakes and smelling flowers at the same time.
it kind of is, isn't it?
And that's on the grain yeah. with the corn in it, yeah.
But delicious.
Oh.
So I could do this pairing every day of my life, and I'd be perfectly happy.
Oh, my God. It's, yeah.
That's great.
Wow. I'm really, you know, I was always kind of wondered if that was a fluke, episode 38, where we did this back then. I always wondered if that was a fluke. It's not.
Well,
it's not a fluke.
I do have to say, if I ever do this pairing again, I would do it on a spring or a fall day when it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah. No. I agree with that.
Because these spirits they're tight. You warm them up and they open up quickly.
But yeah. I'm taking a little extra time to swish them in my mouth to warm them and stuff and pull everything out and doing a little heavier on the retro as I'm swallowing it on the retrohale. But this is... This is not disappointing.
No.
I was kind of, honestly, coming in this, I was going to go, this is not going to be as good as last time. No, it's different, but it's different just as time. Phenomenal yes. in flavor changes and expressions. And now, holy cow, who'd have thought? Japan and Cuba.
Right?
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thunk it? Well, I just did the malt. And it's becoming sweeter now on this middle. It still has more of that. Like we said before, it's more Irish-esque because you taste the malt, but its floral has popped up big time. And I did water in between.
But with the sweetness.
It's become more sweet, right?
Sweetness.
Not as sweet as the grain.
No. Different sweetness.
Different sweetness.
It's sweetness on this.
It's like you put sugar on your Cheerios.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
But it's also floral. Floral suddenly said, hello, I'm here.
Almost Honey Nut Cheerios in a way.
I mean, that's...
But not nuts, but just that... Yeah. No, it's like you said, it's like Cheerios with sugar on it.
So...
You got the graininess, that maltiness, and then really sweet, very floral. Wow.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can't think of an Irish I've had that has this intensity. And maybe that's the cigar. Could be the cigar.
The cigar.
But it's got the intensity of the flavors, both of these, actually, overall. It's the cigar is really in improved and increased that intensity of flavors.
Well, that's the one thing I do remember from the episode 38. The cigar brought out so much more from the spirits.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on each third, it just brought out more flavors and made them just boom in your face. And you just knew what you were tasting right off the bat.
So back into the Japanese that you and I've had issues with. We always talk about them tasting engineered, this, that, and the other. These two are the only ones we've ever done with cigars, if you think about it. I've never done another Japanese with cigars, so that's what we need to. We need to figure out.
I had a Japanese with a cigar before? I don't think I have. I haven't had it with you. I'm trying to think if I had it with somebody else.
Yep.
But there's
only two other people I've had Japanese with. Well, you and then another friend of mine out of Baton Rouge, and he loves Japanese whiskeys. And we went to a bar in Baton Rouge that had a bunch of expressions, mm-hmm. and we did a bunch of back to backs, little small pours, and. Once again, they're outside of this Nika stuff. They were all just engineered tasting. But once again, no cigar involved.
Do it with a stick.
It'd be interesting to see with a stick what the other ones would do for us.
I smell the episode in the future.
Kind of wondering if there's a little foreshadowing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they meant to be go with the cigar, but I don't know. We'll be back for the final third. We're going to enjoy the rest of the cigar off air. And unfortunately, we're back for the final third.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Not that we're back with you guys, because we love you.
We love you, but
no. It's unfortunate because we're in the final third of the cigar. The
experience is coming to an end. I'm in tears over here. So educate us a little bit about it.
Yeah, before Nika. We wrap this up, I want to talk about the coffee still and what the situation was behind that. So once again, as I said, you know, he'd gone back to Scotland to learn Scotch, and he met with a gentleman named Aeneas Coffee.
Aeneas. He was a real asshole, wasn't he?
And he was actually the first person to patent a continuous still.
Mm-hmm.
And hence they named it the coffee still. So that's kind of where, like I said, Masakataka Takatakasuru was staying with and worked and learned from with some Aeneas Coffee. And he ended up, once again, bringing that back to Japan and starting the whiskey deal. But so there's an actually an Irish whiskey I'm hoping to go pick up soon. That's it's called the Aeneas Coffee. And it's from a company, and they're brought back this type of still, and they're doing it, and they're doing heavy corn, a lot like this grain, like the Nika coffee grain and all, and it's a very unique Irish.
Yeah, because the coffee still is not a very efficient still. Nope. That's why most people don't use it, because it's a bad still compared to column stills and pot stills, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Pots are usually the most efficient, and then, you know, the column are just good for moving a lot of volume.
Yeah.
Column stills are great for volume. You look at Wild Turkey. Big old.
Most people use columns, but now people blend column stills with pot stills and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But column stills are most efficient as far as making alcohol and getting the most alcohol out of your product. Pot stills, copper pot stills, they always say it gives you the best flavor and mellows out your mash, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Columns are great for just moving lots of volume. But anyway, so that's kind of a little back end of what coffee, and hence the coffee grain based on that coffee still from Aeneas Coffee from the 1830 is when he patented that.
Yeah. God bless them that they're still using it, right?
Yeah. Well, some people, here, there.
Talking about the cigar, because Austin and I was saying, once you got into that final third, it went from that lightly, barely toasted nuts to...
Roasted nuts. And the minerality has subdued a bit, quite a bit, but it's still there a little bit. But
coffee popped up big time. And now it's nice, wonderful dry coffee. Leather, but not tannic leather. It's that dry leather sensation.
It's like when you're at a New Orleans restaurant, a good New Orleans restaurant, and you get that coffee at the end of the meal, and this meal, it's so good. It's just so good coffee. And you're right, roasted. Now, roasted nuts are there. Leather tannins are still there, wood tannins are still there, but they're so soft and rounded.
But they round off that flavor, right?
Yeah.
It's like a good wine when you have the good enough tannins to round out your flavors.
And it holds up. It helps it hold up from a flavor perspective, especially when we're drinking these spirits. And then the minerality is still there. It's just not as intense. The charries come down, but the minerality is still there, kind of on the outside of the flavor wheel, if you want to look at it that way.
Damn. Excellent cigar.
This is one of the best cigars I've had in quite a while. It really is just once again tremendous. And
but this has always held a special place in your heart and my heart as well. We haven't had one in 8 months.
It's been quite a while, but this one, for maybe it's because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but America.
People out there listening.
God bless Cuba. This is God bless Cuba. This has been special. And honestly, I'm back just like we were episode 38 with these two spirits. It's just, to me, this is one of the best pairings we've ever really done overall.
As far as the flavor expressions, it's not as much as last time. But still,
I think that's the cold weather.
Exactly.
That makes it a little tougher, but it's still there. It's magnified. Once again, that's why I'm rolling it. When I take a sip, I'm rolling it quite a bit in the mouth to warm it and really bring things out, and it explodes.
And before I forget, we were talking about during the break, because it's a rainy, cold day out here, because the cigar, the ash has been perfect the whole time, but it has become flaky because it's so humid.
Oh, yeah.
My cigar is really tight at the beginning, and now we've been smoking for an hour. They're like a sponge. It's soaked up all the humidity out here.
It does
affect the flavors, and that makes your ash flaky, because people are like, well, I got a flaky ash. Well, is it in a dry environment or a humid environment?
Yep.
If it's a humid environment, don't blame the cigar.
Yep, absolutely. Or a super dry environment either.
Super, super dry.
No, like Vegas.
Vegas,
where I'm from. Oh, yeah.
The problem is the cigar is done in 30 minutes.
Yeah, you can't blame the cigar for the atmosphere.
Right.
The terroir.
You know, if you're in a good atmosphere, you're in a, humid, if you're in a good environment where, and your cigar is flaky, well, okay, maybe the cigar wasn't that well made, but don't blame it. Depending on the environment. That's an important point.
Yeah, and that's what's great for us. We live in Louisiana, southern Louisiana. Springtime is the best cigar time period because we're usually 55 to 75 humidity. We're low temperatures, but it's nice and it's warm enough, and it's perfect. It's like almost Cuban, like being in Cuba.
I was going to say that. It's spring and fall, when the temperature in Louisiana is 70 to 78, 80 degrees, but the humidity is not stupid. Because Cuba is humid, but if you're smoking on the ocean side, it's humid, but it's cooler, right? You're smoking inland in July, it's an island. It's hot. It's sticky. And that's what that cigar is supposed to express. So you just took a taste of the grain.
Oh, my God. It's just that much more. Even more flavors. More intense flavors. The corn's still there. The corn flakes. The sweetness. That treacle sweetness. The honey. All those golden flavors. Flowers. Wow. Wow. Just, and the intensity. Really warm it up. The intensity. It's amazing.
Yeah, that candied orange peel is dyed down some. But it's golden. It's almost like golden apple. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It went from that candied orange peel to golden apple floral.
But the honey and the
honey.
It's like you take corn and honey and cornflakes and put honey on it and just, yeah.
And with the cigar, does it change your cigar a little bit? Yes, but they just meld well together. The whole thing is just so perfectly balanced.
And see, yeah, to me, the only real change to the cigar is it lowers the tannins down just a little bit. That's about it for me.
Yeah.
It just softens them up that much further.
And during the break, we were doing the spirits on their own, and they still are what they are. They haven't changed. But with the stick, it just becomes more, and it changes them for the better. So, yeah, we're back to where we were in episode 38. If you can find these two spirits. The cigar is a little bit harder to find because they're limited release. If you can get one, do it. That's all I can say is do it. Sit in with a good friend, a good loved one, in a quiet environment, and enjoy the ride.
So both these spirits, don't expect to have a Scotch experience with them.
No.
To me, they remind me a lot more of an Irish because there's zero peatiness, which to me, that's one of the differentiating factors, obviously, between Scotch and Irishes. Most Irishes, there's really no peat there. There's a couple I've had,
but
those you don't find them. They're very rare. But this, to me, this is a little.
And even them, they don't taste like a Scotch. The peat's different.
Yeah, no, you're right. They don't. They just have maybe a whisper or something. Yeah. But that's a rarity. And what is it? Glendalough is one of the only ones I've ever had as that has a peatiness from an Irish. Everyone else, this reminds me of Irish whiskeys almost on steroids.
Yeah.
And it's
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and what I mean by that, a lot of the Irishes are doing what Scotch do. They'll do sherry finish and they'll do bourbon and stuff. So you get
and it's starting to release cask strength too, which is really interesting.
I
found one the other day, and I want to buy it, and I'm gonna pull the trigger.
We gotta buy it. We gotta buy cask strength Irish. I think Irish could use that. I would like that, but. You know, all the Scotches, we're still seeing the sherry finish. So you get those sherry tones and the bourbon tones from the bourbon finishes. I got to say, I love this about these two. They are not finished in bourbon. They're not finished in anybody else. It's just pure oak barrels, charred oak barrels. So you're getting the true, that spirit, what they're trying to express. And that's what a lot of the Irishes are still doing, thank goodness. But that's kind of my take on these. Now, I just did the malt, and it's, once again, it's just there, just even that much more.
I only have like a little sip left of my malt.
I see a little left in the bottle if you need it.
Yeah, I might need a little bit. I mean, I've got not even, so let's try it. It's not even enough to do a mouthful.
Oh. Sugar Cheerios. I mean, the grainies. You can taste the barley, the grains, and they're sweet. Once again, back. A little less honey, more towards white sugar. Does that make sense? A little less honey, more white sugar.
It's, man, to me. Because before I kept saying the malt was more Cheerios and sugar, it's starting to go almost cornflake because it's getting so sweet now, right?
Well, to me, it's the sugar. I'm not getting any corn. There's
not corn, but you know, corn is sweet.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think it's more sugar and Cheerios. Before it was Cheerio and sugar. Now it's sugar and Cheerios.
But it's to me of a white sugar. It's not a brown sugar. Oh. It's just a nice sweetness. And
that's delicious.
I'm really digging them. Really, once again, digging them again. They're phenomenal with the cigar, but they are true to what the grains are. They're not being messed around with any other expressions like bourbon and sherry, as I just said already. But wow, that's those things are pure. That's a pure grain type spirits.
Yeah, I always struggle buying a Japanese whiskey.
Well, not these two. I don't
struggle.
That's why I have these.
Yeah, I don't struggle. These are well worth it, especially with a cigar. And again, I would do a mild to medium strength cigar, one that has flavors, but not one that's going to just blow you away. If it's a heavy tannin cigar,
I honestly, as I was kind of talking about how this was reminding me a little bit of the Tabernacles, those are heavier cigars, but I honestly think any of the Foundation, the Tabernacle, or even the Olmec would be great with these two. I really think they would go really well together because I think they're going to do kind of a similar thing and bring out a lot more flavors.
But see, I wouldn't do like a Patron 26. I think it would. No. I think it'd be too much for this.
I would agree. I agree with that.
Now, you mentioned the Hemingway earlier. I think a Hemingway would be beautiful with these two.
Hemingway's got a sweetness on its own. That would be an interesting pairing.
I think that would be beautiful with these two spirits.
That'd be a very interesting pairing. So,
with that, we're going to enjoy this one. We're down to about
an inch. The nub. Yeah,
we're getting to the nub. 3/4 of an inch. We're going to do that off air and enjoy it with ourselves, guys. And again, try to find these online. Yep. Again, La Casa de Habano stores. They're hard to come by. And I don't want you to buy them because I want some. I'm being brutally honest. But it is an experience to just sit there and enjoy the ride. I've said that 3 times, but the reason I keep coming back to it, because it's if you want to learn flavors and not be bowled over, because that's, and I keep bringing it up on podcasts over and over and over, because people are like, why, you know, I taste leather in every cigar. Yes, you probably do. But when you get a cigar, well, I got leather. Now I got black pepper. And now I got this. When you get one where they all melded together and they round each other out, there you've got what you really want, right?
Yeah, and we're picky about what we smoke, obviously. And we're smoking MAGA noodles for the show and everything, and that's to help you guys out, our wonderful audience. But on our own, we're very picky, and and that's a lot of it. You said a mouthful. That's a lot of it. It's these well-blended flavors.
Right.
Well-blended, where it's balanced. It's like a wine. You want it balanced. You go drink a wine and all you taste is grape or just fruit, and it's like, eh, you know, they're almost singular. And a lot of cigars out there are very singular.
That's the words I'm looking for, because I was lucky enough to go to Napa 2 weeks ago with my wife and I went with another couple, and we were drinking wonderful wines, but there were certain wines where there was good flavors but separated. Yep. And then we had the other ones where, well, and I was telling my friend, well, you get the tannin, yeah, but the tannin just kind of goes with the other flavors. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you get something that pairs with it and they well-round it, now you got a winner, right?
Yeah, I've had people, you know, they talk about certain bourbons or wines. Oh, it was too tannic. It was too tannic. Well, yeah, because that's really the main flavor and that was it. Yeah. It's not balanced. You want tannins. Tannins gives you body. Mm-hmm. Same thing in a cigar. Same thing in wine. Same thing in bourbons. Yeah, little tannin is nice. You get that wood tannin. It's part of that balance. It's part of that collective of flavors.
Well, a couple of podcasts ago, we did the Peerless, which is a really, you know, slightly higher-end bourbon nowadays. Yeah. With the cigar, it was separated.
Yeah. What bourbon's not slightly higher-end when it comes to price?
Ugh. And that cigar... separate that Peerless to be like, you know what? Yep. I'd rather go with the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Which I was completely surprised by.
We both were shocked because never been a big Jefferson fan.
And that's the point I wanted to make earlier, because Austin was saying, you know, a lot of micro distilleries in the United States now are doing single malts. But they're not Irish and they're not Scotch. And people are, the United States is now learning.
Well, I wouldn't say single malt, say single grain, because single malt is... distillery, right.
but let's
be accurate for our folks.
Yes, just true. But there are micro distilleries that are doing barley.
Yeah, barley,
and they're trying to make barley distillate.
Yeah,
and they don't taste like an Irish because they age here in the United States, and they own unique flavor. Now the problem is mainly micro distilleries, but some of the big distilleries now are starting to do barley only.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in the United States. I want to see who they are.
And I'm going to add to that.
5-8 years from now.
But the problem is what we're seeing with these micro distilleries, they're having a hard time getting really good raw oak casks. So they'll get something, they'll do it in a standard charred oak barrel, and then they move them over to these bourbons because they can get those bourbon barrels all day long. Because once again, bourbon can only use that barrel once to be bourbon.
Yeah. It's cheaper.
So they're getting all these. So once again, you're getting all these finishes that are influenced by other spirits.
Yeah.
And that's fine. If it tastes great, amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And to be true, I mean, I shouldn't say most of them. I'm going to say most. Most Scotch now are aged in ex-bourbon barrels.
Yep, absolutely.
So you're getting the same thing in the United States now, where they're aging malt only.
Yep.
And ex-bourbon barrels.
And we're seeing Irish doing the same thing. We're seeing that starting to go more and more into the Irish side. And, you know, but anyway, guess what? We're going to pick this up on the next episode. So, you know, hope you guys enjoyed this week. Next week, check us out. We're going to be going back to basics. We're going to do spirits. And then the episode of that, we're going to go back to basics 101 for cigars and tobacco.
We're going to go deep into tobacco.
Yeah, so. We want to kind of get that in and just kind of bring it back. We get a lot of new listeners. We're continuing to grow. Thank you guys for that. Please, please, please tell your friends about us. We want to continue to grow this. We want to keep team do it because we enjoy it. And the feedback we get seems like y'all are enjoying it too. And once again, send us anything through Instagram, direct message us, and any suggestions at, you know, Scars Spirits Podcast and stuff like that. And we listen.
Amen. With that, guys, go out and enjoy life.
And smoke a cigar.
Oh, I'm persistent. I am insistent.
I'm in a continual, permanent, protracted, unending mood.